Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screening baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. But Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. It's August 17th, 2010. Doug Loves Movies is coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles in front of a live audience. That's them. Some of whom are wearing name tags. I see Greg, and I see Liz, and I see names I can't read from over there, and Ryan and Sam are here, and some other ones. There's a shit ton of name tags at my show. My show's last weekend, and I was in Bellevue, Washington, outside of Seattle, at a lovely club called Parlor Live. And there was one night where we taped a special bonus episode of the podcast that's going to be available soon for download at a very small charge on iTunes. And it was a lot of fun. There was like the whole audience was wearing name tags. It was kind of crazy. I felt like Drew Carey or Bob Barker, take your pick. Both of them say spay or neuter your pets. So they're the same dude to me. But this episode is free, like it will continue to be every week while we try to work in product placement as cleverly as possible. Drink Coke, JK, drink whatever you want. This weekend, I had a little feud. Some of you may have noticed on Twitter, I had a feud with Eliza Dushku. And it was very exciting because the whole time I was like, this is how I can get her to be a guest. It was a whole misunderstanding. I fake blocked her, something that she wrote, and she wrote back and called me an a-hole with a period between the A and the hole. And after me explaining to her that I fake block people to entertain my followers, because it's just funny when somebody writes something nice. Like my favorite one was Disneyland, new Sleeping Beauty pin available, and I wrote blocked. But I didn't, because I love following Disneyland. That's crazy, following Disneyland. So we reached a truce. She wrote back specifically truce once I explained to her that I blocked people just to be funny and that I had never really blocked her. And I asked her to be on the podcast, and of course I haven't heard back, and she's not following me. So all I'm saying is, you guys, you know, don't be dicks about it, but write to her and just go, you should be on Doug Loves Movies. Bring it on, I say. All right, let's bring out my guests. They've all been on the show before. Please welcome Morgan Murphy, Sam Levine, and Mr. Leonard Maltin.
Thank you.
Well, well, well. He's
thank you. Please sit
back
down.
For more abuse. Did anyone stand up? No, but they clapped hard.
What?
It's hot in here. It's August, and it was a hot day today, so I appreciate any enthusiasm we can get whatsoever. And let me just go to the paper here, because I wrote down some awesome questions today at around 4:30.
Have you ever printed or published those notes? That's like... I feel like it's I'm looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls.
No, you know what it is? It's like our Crumbs family would write stuff like this.
Yeah.
Just jot down a bunch of weird things on a piece of paper.
Have you seen these notes before?
I didn't know Doug could write.
No, I totally write it all out, and it's I mostly read it, but it's also it's written this way so that you can't peek and figure out what's coming up.
There's no danger of that.
Yeah,
it's very hard to understand and figure it out. Yeah.
So as I was saying to Morgan Murphy, my friend backstage in the green room area, we were discussing. She's in a movie called.
It's kind of a funny story. Yeah.
That's one of the I saw the trailer, and it's one of those trailers where they go, it's an unusual story. It's a crazy story. It's kind of a funny story. And then the trailer ends, and I'm like, but what's it called? And then it says www.itskindofafunnystory.com, which doesn't necessarily tell you that's definitely the title, because sometimes when they can't get a title for some reason, they go with somethingelse.com, like... I can't come up with an example, but anyway, it looks good. Zach is in it, and
Zach's
the kid from United States of Terra is like the lead in it.
Oh, okay,
Keir Gilchrist is his name. Is he in the scene with you?
Yeah.
Keir is his name.
Keir, yeah, and then what's her name? Julia Roberts' niece, Emma Roberts, right?
Yeah, she's in it. Is she in your scene?
Yeah, they're all. It's,
they're all
know,
sitting there.
In my scene.
Drawing. You're like the drawing teacher at
I'm the art teacher at the Nuthouse. Yeah.
Nuthouse, yeah.
Yeah.
And you come in and you art therapy everybody.
I art therapy.
And there's a hilarious joke in the trailer about a guy drew a beaver. And then you know where this is going, Leonard.
Yeah, and I say...
I'm afraid so. Yeah.
I say to him, he said, what about, can we draw beavers? I said, we don't draw the kind of beavers you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then he shows me, and it's an actual beaver.
It's a picture of a cute beaver. And you say, that's a lovely beaver.
I said, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You say that.
But that cracks me up when that sort of stuff gets in a trailer, because it's like, does the MPAA people that watch those trailers even get that joke?
Yeah.
Because wouldn't they stop it if they thought that you were just saying, you know, beavers in the context that... Because your character meant beavers, as in vaginas.
I meant pussy.
I mean, I don't want to tell you what your character was thinking.
Yeah.
I am not listening to the story close enough.
But the best part about that movie is, like, I'm in the trailer, and that's pretty much my whole
that's
part.
That's your whole part.
It's in the trailer. Yeah, so people are like, oh, I saw you in this movie. I'm like, well, you saw... everything that I do.
Well, that's already... Zach Galifianakis, shot up in popularity, so his entire parts are in every trailer.
The
trailers for Up in the Air, he was, like, prominently featured, and he just has that one scene, but that whole scene's in the trailer.
It was great, though, because Zach... That was coincidental that Zach was in that. Like, I didn't even know what the movie was when I auditioned for it, and then it was Zach, so I got to hang with him for a day, which was...
Very cool.
Oh.
Leonard?
Sir?
How many movies have you been in as yourself?
One.
Is the question that came to me. Just one?
Yeah.
Really?
Is it because you're hard to get?
Well, no, one documentary and one fictional film.
What was the fictional
film? Wait, I think I know the answer. Is it Gremlins 2?
I think it's Gremlins 2.
Yeah. But there's a story. You want to know the story that
nobody
goes with
won it? Anything just now, by
That's
the way.
That's right.
I did get to throw my hands up in the air.
Yeah.
And wave them like I just did not.
But I should tell you why I'm in Gremlins 2. Because when I moved out here to L.A. 26 years ago, I was a newcomer. I mean, I had some friends here. I had some work colleagues and all that. But I immediately knew I didn't want to hang out with movie people because I'm a critic, and I've got to review them and critique them, and that's not a comfortable situation. But there was one guy I already knew, and that was Joe Dante, who started out as an editor for Roger Corman at New World Pictures and then became a director. And his first really big film was Gremlins, the original Gremlins, which Steven Spielberg produced and handpicked him to direct, having seen some of his Roger Corman.
Off of Piranha.
Piranha, exactly so. And he... So I had this very odd, very uncomfortable situation. I was on Entertainment Tonight. This is in the early 80s when the show was red hot. And I mean, people really watched that show.
Yeah, people were...
There was a time.
Mary Hart was causing seizures. That's how hot that show
was.
That's
right. That's right. You have to be old enough to remember that reference.
That's right.
But it's true. But there was nothing like it. There was no E! Network. There was, you know, Entertainment Weekly hadn't started publishing. Entertainment Tonight was like a big deal. And I was on it like three or four times a week, and it was a big deal.
Yeah, sitting there in an empty theater.
That's right. So
why wouldn't anyone watch a movie with you, Leonard?
That's right. But there are many answers to that. But
it's called privacy. But I understand.
But I had
a lot of sexy
suddenly,
movies.
For the first time in my whole life, I had to review a movie directed by a friend of mine, and
ouch.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like Gremlins 1?
No, I didn't. I thought it was too mean-spirited. And
it was ugly, and it led to the creation of PG-13
That's
in part.
Right. Yeah. So the irony is that Joe put all sorts of in jokes for his friends in Gremlins that he knew only his pals, his movie buff pals, would get, and his movie buff pals, many of them, didn't like the movie, but the public loved the movie. He later made a film called Explorers that only his friends liked.
Yeah, you'd have to be pretty tight with him to enjoy
anyway,
that.
But in any case, I had to go on the. I had
one
to go
of the
on
stars
the air.
Of that killed himself.
I mean, I lost. I actually lost sleep, wondering what to do. Should I just not review? I couldn't not review the film. It was too big a movie. And there was, you know, at a newspaper, traditionally, the lead critic would then say, you better review this one because I have a conflict of interest here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was no other critic at E.T. I had to review the movie. And I was thinking, how can I soften my review and maybe make it, you know, no, you can't soften it. You got to tell it like it is. I had to say I didn't like the movie. So it caused kind of a rift between me and Joe for a while, which I understand.
No.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, you put your heart and soul into something. You know, you work really hard on it, and then
But you weren't alone. A lot of his friends hated it.
Well, yeah, but it was understandable that it was not a comfortable situation. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years went by, and I get a call one day from Joe's producing partner at the time, Mike Finelli. He says, "Well, we're doing Gremlins 2." I said, "Yeah." He says, and there's a scene in it where the gremlins invade this TV network and go into all these different studios and destroy the shows. And one of the shows is going to be a movie review show. And we thought maybe you could be the critic on the movie review show. So I said, well, I think I owe you that. So that's how I got to be in Gremlins 2. And then when we shot it at Warner Brothers one day, I mean, it was really weird. People say
Godfather 2, by the way, greatest sequel of all time, but Gremlins 2 is close.
Yeah.
Can we once call it by its full name? Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Well, no one would have known what was going on in that movie if they didn't say New Batch.
That's right. But the scene, you ever wonder about those subtitles? Well, we'll talk about that some other time. But Joe directed me in this scene, and in the scene they had me sitting in a movie theater type set, mm-hmm. holding a video Hello. Cassette of Gremlins. What, and supposedly giving it a bad review, and Joe said, just use your own words.
Just recreate your original review.
He directed me in a scene and told me to give his movie a bad review again on camera.
That's beautiful.
In the movie, which I did, and then the gremlins came and attacked me.
Did the one that was voiced by Tony Randall say anything to you?
No.
As you were being attacked? Because that'd be insult to injury.
No. That might have been in post-production, but it was not. So that's how I wound up in Gremlins.
Oh, okay. And then, but other people have asked and you just say no because it's not your bag?
I don't think it's appropriate.
All right. Well, that's nice that you have some integrity, but I'd love to see you in some movies. Now, Sam's been in a few movies, a handful of movies.
Just a handful.
Inglourious Bastards being the most recent that we've seen in cinemas.
Thank you. Thank you. I take sole responsibility for that film.
Speaking of...
Your applause means a lot to me. Thank you.
Speaking of the weird world of trailers, there's an amazing shot in the trailer for that movie of you running, shooting two Tommy guns, machine guns
one
at the
giant,
same time as you're running, or one giant one.
One massive gun.
But you've got like a gun that's way too big for you,
way
clearly.
Too big. Yeah.
And you're running and shooting it.
Yes.
It's so badass.
And screaming.
And screaming. Yeah. And it's in the trailer, but nowhere to be seen in the movie.
Nowhere to be seen in the film.
Yeah. How did that feel, and what the hell was that scene?
That
Wait, does that mean I might not be
in the next shot? Is the next shot you sitting up in bed sweating? Like, was it a dream that you could run with a big gun?
It feels like it was a dream now. That scene was shot as part of the Stieglitz jailbreak scene, where we breaked Til Schweiger's character out of prison.
Right, right. You have a lot of guns there, because yes. Isn't that part of it? You kind of shoot him out of the cell?
Yeah, we kill all the guards. But alas, that the other side of that scene is supposed to be a bunch of guards like trying to reach for their guns and then getting blasted to hell. And they never shot that. So it's just me running and shooting. There's no other side of that.
But it was such a cool shot. It's like, let's put it in the trailer.
Right, it makes sense in a trailer, but you can't really throw that into the movie.
Yeah, that's not a great deleted scene.
Yeah, it would be a little weird.
What was your character's name? Berger? Hirschberger?
Hirschberg.
Hirschberg.
Yeah.
Hirschberg running.
Last time I was here, you called him Hirschberger. What was his name? Jewstein? Bagberg man? What? Every
At least
time.
I tried. I didn't get...
Oh, terrible.
Didn't get that racist with it. I tried to... tried to say it right. And, but I thought you were great, and you were also great as the painter in that other scene.
That's right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wait, I have a small bone to pick.
With what?
With Mr. Malton to my right, and he didn't know I was going to talk about this.
Oh my God!
Whoops,
you
know,
why are you bringing up your personal?
Because what a better place to air this dirty
shit
laundry?
On my
so
podcast, you piece
he
of
was
shit.
Kind enough to. I got a look at his 2011 movie guide.
Mm-hmm.
And you have reviewed, I think, 4 or 5 films that I have been in mm-hmm. your movie guide.
Mm-hmm. What's the highest rating you got?
I think he gave Bastards 2.5 stars. Is that right?
There's
That's
a gasp.
The highest
there
rating.
Was a gasp.
A yeah. gasp, yeah. an audible now. Gasp.
Yeah.
Everything. Club Dread, you said it was a bomb. I'm inclined to agree. Sydney White.
Club Dread was not a bomb. It's like a 1 or 2 at least.
He called it a bomb. And then Sydney White and Not Another Teen Movie, you gave a 1.5 stars, I think, mm-hmm. each.
Which is an improvement over bomb.
So what have I got to do?
You're working your way up.
It's like, what kind of film do I need
10
to be
years
in?
From now, there's going to be no talking to you. You know,
all right.
The sky's
the limit. It's so frustrating looking up a word alphabetically that's misspelled on purpose. Inglorious is I-N-G-L-O-R, right?
Yes. Okay. L-O-U-R.
Oh, yeah, he added a U.
I-N-G-L-O-U-R. Here it is, here it is. You got it right. Wait.
2.5 stars, right?
No. Oh, I'm looking at the original.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the first Inglourious Basterds got 2. So that's great that Tarantino went, a 2-star movie, I have to remake it. Try to add 1/2 star, and he succeeded. He got 1/2 star more.
Better.
He made it 1/2 star better than the original, and he gave it. You gave it 2.5 stars, and let's see. He says someone who might be named Hirschberg steals the show.
Oh, I should have read.
But he got it. He's racist also.
That's
though.
A Doug Benson edition. The specially printed Doug Benson edition of the new 2011 guide.
And then the you say that the director of the original Inglourious Basterds has a cameo.
Yeah.
See, I love when you throw in stuff like that because that that's what makes watching something fun. You know,
I got they had a screening at USC last year of the original Inglourious Basterds, and Enzo Castellari was there. And a very interesting, colorful guy. That was a really neat evening. But apparently his part got cut. Yes. Quentin had more...
Wait a second. You're telling us to look for a cameo that got cut?
He's sitting...
Why don't you replace it in the next edition with look for Sam Levine as a painter with a mustache?
Thank you, Doug. What a wonderful suggestion.
Signor Castellari is sitting in the front row of the movie theater, though, in the climax.
Yes.
So.
He is in the
oh, he is sitting there. So he's like an extra. He just doesn't speak.
That's right.
All right. Well, here's another thing. That's not it. That's going to be a prize for one of the guests. But I brought something for you, Leonard. Bless you. Somebody sneezed. I brought a copy of my movie, Super High Me.
Ooh.
Because I looked in the app and I looked in the book, and it's not in either of them. So you need to watch it, and now you have to review another movie from a friend.
Wait a minute.
So I hope you liked it so you can be honest about it.
It has Spanish subtitles.
Yeah, just in case.
It says so right here.
Only if you want them. It's
Marijuana.
Not, you don't have to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're stressing that because there's also a lot of pot leaves all over it.
Okay.
And they're being they're doing some racial profiling by appealing to the Spanish-speaking audience.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so check that out, and I hope you enjoy it. Now, I wanted to ask quickly, we got to move on to the Leonard Maltin game. You got to play the Leonard Maltin game when Leonard Maltin's here. But what was the last movie you saw?
I've seen so many in the last 2 weeks. I can't.
But what did you see? Did you see something today or yesterday?
Have you seen Animal Kingdom?
No, I haven't.
That's
I noticed
really
it's
good.
Playing at the ArcLight, but in the listings it just says Animal Kingdom. I was like, what's that? What is it?
It's an Australian crime thriller.
Boo! No, I'm just kidding. I have no reason to say that. I've just never, you don't get to argue with a critic up close usually. Wrong! Wrong, Maltin!
You've been waiting.
So it's Australian?
All week for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. Guy Pearce is the best known actor in it.
Oh, okay.
He plays a cop, but
that guy's amazing. He's so different in every role.
Yeah,
he plays.
He's completely different. And he's.
People giggled at that, but Guy Pearce is amazing.
Yeah.
He is Australian, right?
This is, yes.
Or New Zealand.
It's a very tough movie. Really hard bitten movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. About a. The setup is there's a 17-year-old kid. The first, I'm not giving anything away. It's the beginning of the movie. The 17-year-old boy sitting there with his mother in a kind of a motel. She's just died of a drug overdose. And he calls his grandmother because he doesn't know what else to do. And you learn from this that he and his grandmother haven't seen each other in a long time. Turns out that his mom and his grandma were estranged. So his grandmother says, I'll be right over. So she takes him in to her family, which it turns out consists of three sons who are all hard-bitten criminals. And this 17-year-old kid, he's a quiet guy, and he's never been exposed to any of this. And the rest of the film is what happens as he becomes kind of enmeshed in their world and gets in neck deep. And it's really good.
But is it in 3D?
No. It's better than 3D, Sam. It's 2D.
Yeah. That's right. Somebody should take that slogan and put it on any movie that's not 3D.
That's right.
Check it out. It's 2D.
As they said in the early 50s when they introduced CinemaScope, no glasses required.
That's good. That's a good catchphrase.
Yeah.
They should have tried that with Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Because that movie didn't do near the business it deserved. I saw your review on my Leonard Maltin app, and I'm so excited that you loved it because it's the kind of movie that older dudes like ourselves could easily dismiss as being just a silly video game thing. And yet the visual inventiveness of it is so incredible that you're still... and like you said, all the actors are great in it too. All the actors are wonderful.
The actors are wonderful, yeah. And I love the inventiveness of it, but I didn't love the movie.
What?
Yeah.
I read the first paragraph and the last. What did you do?
What did you do was skip the middle of the review.
In the middle, you're like, this fucking blows. But
this
last
is what you get for
really glows about all the actors, and that's one of the things I liked about it. I thought it was an attractive, entertaining cast.
They keep it for. I mean, to me, when it runs out of bells and whistles. And you get down to the storyline, which is really very trite. The last half hour,
it's simple,
let's say.
Yes.
It's like, and it's like, if it weren't for the fact those actors are so appealing and colorful, then they'd really be screwed.
Yeah, but, it kind of like a lot of action movies. It's just sort of like the final third is like a lot of battling that's could be wrapped up quicker and could lead to more fun dialogue scenes. But like just some of the things that Edgar Wright does have never been done in movies before, and he does it effectively.
He does it very well. Have you ever seen Spaced?
Yeah, the TV series he did.
I recently started watching that on DVD, and I liked it a lot. And he did three or four series in England, most of them with Simon Pegg. But the timing of the gags and the editing and the kind of the deadpan reactions and all that. That was already there when he was doing TV, doing episodic TV.
Yeah.
He's just brought that into features.
It's a similar style that he brought into the films with certainly bigger budgets.
Yeah.
Sam Levine.
Yeah, buddy.
What have you seen lately?
I'm embarrassed. The last two films
Next!
In the theaters were Inception and Iron Man 2.
There's no reason to be embarrassed
start
by
with
that.
With I from now on.
You went to the two of the biggest crowd-pleasing blockbusters.
Yep.
One may be more so than the other.
Yep.
Now,
Now, not to take it away from Sam, but I think, I don't know, now I'm confused about it. I read your reviews, I don't know what you really thought. But Inception, you aren't as bowled over as a lot of people.
That is correct.
Yes!
Wrong!
There's a growing faction of people that are just like, yeah, but it wasn't involving. It was fantastic to look at. Amazing production, well-acted, well-produced.
All that.
But I didn't care about any of those characters.
No.
And as an analogy, I say, remember Jaws? Remember how those three guys that went out to get the shark were amazing characters, practically out of literature, amazingly acted, and you cared about what was going to happen to them? That's what I want in even the dumbest summer blockbuster. I want that kind of connection.
I agree completely. See, my problem with Inception is I have the same problem with a lot of Christopher Nolan's movies. I mean, he's obviously a very bright... He's clearly a very bright guy and a very skilled filmmaker. There's no debating that. Yeah. But I think he's so busy trying to show off how clever he is that he...
And with this movie, he really tried to give it an emotional...
Yes, he did.
Thing, but I
yes,
think it
did.
Just felt forced to me.
Yeah, it did. A lot of the movie felt forced to me.
Yeah, I'd like him to just make... Like, I hope the next Batman is just dark and relentless and ugly. I heard there's a stupid rumor that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to play the Riddler. But I kind of made a face when I heard Heath Ledger was going to play the Joker, and that turned out to be amazing. So
yeah.
I'll trust his judgment.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a wonderful actor.
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. But like to me, in Inception, he kind of felt like he was like... Kind of what's hampered Leo's career is they both look so young still.
Yeah.
That like he kind of when he was floating around the hallway, I was kind of like, yeah, that's like a teenager floating around a hallway. How dangerous could it be? And Morgan, do you have anything to add? We got to play the Leonard Maltin game. We're running out of time. Yeah. But did you see a movie when you flew out from New York?
Oh yeah, I watched half of what did I tell you? I watched
Blindside?
Half. No. I watched half of
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
Oh, Iron Man 2.
Which half?
The first half.
Oh, nice.
And then I
actually, that's probably my least favorite half of that movie, just because Scarlett Johansson doesn't really start fighting anybody except for Jon Favreau in a boxing ring. Till later in the movie, she fights a lot, and it gets good. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, I fell
asleep.
She
does more fighting.
I fell asleep. I think I got bored, but I also took an Ambien, and I can't tell what happened first. If I got bored first, or if the Ambien kicked in, or if just it happened at the same time because God wanted it to happen that way.
I just learned that Morgan is crazy about documentaries.
I am. The last movie I saw was I saw the Joan Rivers documentary, and then I also saw the Phil Spector documentary, which was pretty good.
Which I haven't seen yet.
It's good.
What's that
called? Did you like the Joan Rivers one?
Joan Rivers one I thought was great.
Yeah, Joan Rivers
fantastic?
Is awesome.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic film.
That's a wonderful movie. Yeah. That's probably been my favorite movie I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And the Phil Spector one was good. It wasn't, to the caliber of the Joan Rivers one. Mm-hmm. I've never said caliber at the Cedar before. I've been coming here for like 8 years.
What about, I haven't seen the Hugh Hefner thing. Is that good?
It is good. It's quite good, and it's a film that has a lot of surprises in it for people who weren't alive, weren't around when he when he started Playboy, when he fought a lot of battles that people don't remember or don't know that he had to fight about freedom of speech, freedom of press. That wasn't allowed to mail the magazine through the U.S. postal system. Had to fight that. When he opened his Playboy clubs, they sold franchises. And they sold some in New Orleans and Miami, and they weren't letting black people in. And he said, that's unacceptable. He had to buy back the franchises because he would not allow his name and his logo to be on something that, at a time of segregation, was doing that in the South. I mean,
and he never did it all in his pajamas.
Well, that's right, exactly. But I mean,
that's amazing.
He never set out to be a
Martin
crusader.
Martin Luther King had to put a suit on.
I know. He's not a guy. He's not a guy who set out to be a crusader or to or to fight these big battles. But just as things came, he just dealt with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
He did a TV show called Playboy After Dark, a syndicated show, and he booked all sorts of entertainers. I mean, a lot of jazz people that couldn't get on television then, a lot of comedians, and a lot of black entertainers who were not welcome on shows mingling with white entertainers, and because he was not on a network, no one could censor him. He just did it. It was a syndicated show. I mean, he's an interesting guy who's had interesting episodes in his life, and that's what this film goes into.
He often has like three wives at a time or whatever.
Well, there's
three
that too, yes.
They mention that?
Yes, they
does
do.
That come up?
That does come up.
Do they show the monkeys in the at the mansion? Because I love feeding those monkeys grapes. Uh-huh. I've been there twice. I spend more time feeding the monkeys than looking at the ladies. You see ladies every day. How often do you see a monkey?
Yeah,
come on, you guys. Give me a break. All right, so...
I'm just picturing you in the grotto with two monkeys.
They're like in a cage, and they have like a little jar of grapes that you can pull from.
No, but I imagine like at some point you just want to let them
free. They reach out and grab it from you, and then they eat it. Sometimes they throw it back in your face, and they laugh. All right, let's play... Normally I call it the Len Maltin game, but in your presence, let's play the Leonard Maltin game, you guys.
Aren't you kind?
Yeah. Classy guy.
I pretend we have a much more casual relationship when you're not actually here. And people let me get away with it. Couple changes to the game since all of you played, probably, so let me just run it by you really quickly.
I was not told about changes in the game.
I was not warned about this.
We'll start with Morgan. Now the first person who starts gets to name the category that we're going to play from through some options and the year. So the person who picks first, it's usually the person in last place, gets kind of an advantage because they can kind of zero in on something they may be knowledgeable about.
Wait, so I'm in
about.
Last place?
And you're in last
started?
Place already.
Just based on my, based on everything I've
pick
said.
On some, I pick randomly in your case. It's like I looked down the line of you and went, oh, who's wearing a hat? Morgan. Okay, she's going to go for it. Okay, so let me give you some categories. It's Sean Penn's birthday today, the day we're taping this. So one of the categories is movies featuring Sean Penn. Oh, yeah, good idea. Let's pick some people for you to play for. I'm so glad he reminded me. This is my three favorite seats to choose from. So, Alex, Leonard Maltin is going to play for you. And, congratulations. And Sam Levine is going to play for Courtney. And Morgan Murphy is going to play for Sean. So, remember, you guys,
sorry,
who you're playing
Sean.
For. Because I forgot already. Here we go.
Sean, I'm playing for
Sean, that's perfect. Sean, yeah. And the first category you have to choose from is Sean Penn movies. Uh-huh. Also, we can do animal movies. It's movies that have animals in them. Most do. and then movies set in Idaho, because I'll be playing the Knitting Factory in Boise on Saturday night. So I'm thinking of Idaho. So what would you like, movies of Sean Penn, animal movies, or movies set in Idaho?
Sean Penn movies.
All right, here we go.
Then what do I do?
I'll let you choose between some years. Would you like 1985, 1995, or 2005?
I'll take 2005.
All right, here we go. I'm going to tell you some things about this movie.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm going to tell you how many actors are listed in Leonard Maltin's app on iPhone for this movie.
Uh-huh.
Then you tell me how many names you think you can get the correct answer in, and I will read them from the bottom up. So it's most obscure to the most famous, and... Mr. Maltin gives this movie 2.5 stars.
I can name one person in the movie. Sean Penn.
Hang on a second. Slow down, young lady.
Oh.
That's a nice beaver you're drawing. Here are some things he said about it. He goes, star wattage and filmmaking craftsmanship help compensate for many loose ends. Yeah, that's a long clue I gave there. And another one is the director has a small role in the movie. 2.5 stars from 2006. And there are...
You said 2005.
What?
Yeah, you said 2005.
Let's say 2005. 10 names. There's 10 names. So you could say I can name that in 10 names, or you can bid lower.
But I name the... I say the names after you give me the title?
No.
Oh.
I thought you were on the show once before.
I
thought we played the game then.
We did.
Because we play it in every episode.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I need five names.
Wow, it's a bold bid for somebody who just was completely confused.
I'm always like every point in my life. I was just completely confused a second before.
All right.
And it seems to be fine.
Let's move down to Mr. Maltin. How many names do you think you can get it in?
Or
you could say name that
I probably
movie
can't
Morgan
get it
movie.
At all, but I'll try for four.
Sam Levine?
Name that movie.
Name that movie.
I'm not. I'm getting burned every time.
Leonard Maltin, feeling the pressure in the game named after him.
Because I can't do it, but go ahead.
All right. Here's the clues again. This is, you know, this is from your app, so you either wrote this or approved this.
Yep.
2.5 stars. the star wattage and filmmaking craftsmanship help compensate for the many loose ends, and the director has a small role.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four names that I'm going to read to you now. They are Hugo Spear, no idea. Clyde Kuhatsu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm not absolutely sure, but I think he might have been one of the dancing Itos on Leno. He was definitely Margaret Cho's mom on All American Girl. George Harris and Michael Wright are the four names.
I'm screwed.
You got nothing? You're not good with years. Like, you can't think. What was Sean Penn in 2005?
No, I'm terrible at that.
Yeah, me too. I'd be terrible at it too.
My mind doesn't sort stuff that way. You know,
Nor should it.
I'm very linear.
Yeah,
very
I mean, you'll remember. As soon as I tell you this, you could probably tell me the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the rest of the names and see who it comes
to
first.
It isn't the assassination of Richard Nixon, is it?
No, no, that's not it. That's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
The other names are Earl Cameron, Evine, Attal, Jasper Christensen, Catherine Keener, then Sean Penn, then Nicole Kidman.
It was called
The Interpreter.
The Interpreter, that horrible movie.
Yeah, which is one of the things I hated about that movie. Such a generic title, you know.
See, and of course, it is a movie worth forgetting.
Yeah.
So...
But then, so then you gave it a very generous 2.5 stars. Then.
Yeah, because it's well made and by Sidney Pollack, who has a small part in the movie.
There you go.
And but it's, you know, not overwhelmingly good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's fair.
Okay.
Let's.
Wait, did
so
I get a point
Sam
there?
Gets the point.
Oh,
yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And since Morgan didn't get caught in the middle of that mess, we'll have her start again. You're gonna start us off again.
I know how to do this now.
You got it down.
Yep.
Now your categories are, it's Robert De Niro's birthday today. Yeah, it really is. Sean Penn and Robert De Niro, two of the greats, same day. So I have Robert De Niro movies, or movies set in Idaho, the great category that you guys passed on earlier. Mm-hmm. And also, it is currently the 25th anniversary of St. Elmo's Fire, so the category is movies that feature the stars of St. Elmo's Fire. So it's two of them in another movie.
At least two of them?
At least two of them, oh, Sam. Okay. Right. Could be three. I didn't research it that hard.
That's a bulging category, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So what do you think, Morgan?
I do De Niro movies.
All right, here we go. Would you like a De Niro movie from 84, 94, or 2004?
94.
94. Nice pull.
Good choice.
Everyone's impressed.
Yeah.
2 stars, says Leonard Maltin. Hugely disappointing are the first two words of the review.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you say that about one that you call a bomb as your rating, but yes, two stars, hugely disappointing.
Well, because
it could have been a 5-star movie
exactly,
or a 4-star movie.
Exactly.
Taxi Driver.
All right, shut up. Hugely disappointing. And then, wow, everything gives it away. Every other line from it.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. But the story goes askew. Wow, that's an awesome clue.
In a hugely disappointing way.
In a hugely disappointing way, the story goes askew. 2 stars, and there are 10 names. How many can you get it in, Morgan Murphy?
I'm going to say 5 again. I'm going to five it.
You really have fun with that bid. Mr. Maltin?
I'm not going to try to challenge that this time.
You're going to say name that movie in 5 names?
I'm going to say name that movie in 5
names. Oh.
Here we go.
I was kidding. Okay.
Someone named Cherie Lungi was in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Hardy. John Cleese. Ooh, was right.
Ooh.
Richard Briers. Ian Holm.
I've no idea.
He was a robot.
I'm just dumb. I don't know, Doug. I don't know.
No idea?
No.
All right, so the point goes to Mr. Maltin. And the rest of the names are Aidan Quinn, Helena Bonham Carter, Tom Hulse, Kenneth Branagh, and our man Robert De Niro as
Dr.
Frankenstein's monster in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yep.
Yeah, that was, wow, that was a rough one.
Two words, hugely disappointing.
Yeah. De Niro's makeup as the monster was really gross. Like, it was really like, if you really had stitches on your face, it wasn't like human monster with a bolt in his neck. Yeah. It was really gross. All right, so that was exciting. So now we have Sam has 1 point, Leonard has 1 point, and we start with Morgan again.
All right.
All right. Animal movies, Idaho movies, St. Elmo's Fire alumni movie.
All right, animal movies.
Animal movies. Would you like 1989, 2001, or 2008?
2008.
Here we go. 3 stars from Leonard Maltin. He calls it a sweet film. And he also says that it is autobiographical.
Yeah, it's an animal movie that is autobiographical.
Okay.
And there are...
It could happen.
Yeah, it could. There's 7 names. Wait, 8 names. 8 names. How many can you get it in, Morgan?
Six names.
Leonard. Come on, LM.
I'll try for 5.
Yeah. Sam, this is a game winner right here.
I don't like my position in the bidding here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah.
It's like I purposely screwed you. Okay. Now wait. So what are we at? We're at 5 names.
5. So I got either name.
So you could do less names.
Go for it.
Or
go
you
for
can
it.
You can challenge.
Don't
Leonard.
Be a pussy.
If you
do
challenge
it.
Leonard, you could win the point. Or if you name it, you could win the point. Right. And first person to 2 wins the whole thing. And,
oh man.
And what's your name, Courtney? Courtney's gonna be very excited if you pull this off.
I'll give it a shot. Give me 4 names.
4 names. Yeah. All right. So now Morgan, you can say name that movie or try to bid lower.
Name that movie.
We're going to have a 3-way right. tie if you can't name this, Sam Levine.
I'm aware.
We're excited.
Wait, do I have a point?
If I you might. Settle down.
2008, autobiographical. Is it Hoot?
Will you not pre-guess so weirdly? Hoot. Was Hoot about owls? I thought it was just about trying to preserve. I guess they were in there.
Is it that kangaroo one with Anthony Anderson?
That's not what it is.
Kangaroo Jack?
Kangaroo Jack?
No wild guessing.
Like
no, that's 3 stars. 3 stars, Morgan. He gave it 3 stars. He didn't give Kangaroo Jack 3 stars. All right, so it's 3 stars, right. 2008.
8
sweet
names.
Film.
I'm getting 4 of them.
Sweet film. Right. Autobiographical.
All right.
It's a huge clue.
All right.
I think I know.
The 4 names are Joyce Van Patten.
Great.
That's 3 of the names. No.
None.
No, we got Joyce Van Patten, yeah. Haley Bennett.
Okay.
Nathan Gamble.
Great.
And this one might help you. Alan Arkin.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Okay, it's not going to help you enough.
Oh. Leonard, do you know?
I'm terrible at this game.
Okay. Alan Arkin, 2008, animal movie, autobiographical.
Ooh.
I think I can guess the animal.
Don't yell it out, but do people think they know it?
I think. Can I try to guess the animal if he can't get it for an extra point?
You know what? You can guess
Sean.
No points, but you can guess the animal right now. I don't think that's going to give
it
away.
Is it a horse?
No.
Never
mind. So that narrows it down. It's not a horse.
It's not a horse.
It's some other animal.
All right.
So that only leaves you with 4 to choose from.
That's true.
Because who makes a movie about a chicken?
Is, let's see.
Chicken Little. I know what movie it is.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. He's got it. So you don't know?
I
do you have a guess?
No, I don't have a guess.
What do you think it is?
Marley and Me.
It's Marley and Me.
Oh.
Kathleen Turner, Eric Dane, Jennifer Aniston, Owen Wilson. That movie, I defy anyone to watch the last 15 minutes of that movie and not cry.
I did not see Marley and Me.
That is.
I think that movie would have been so much better
brutal.
If it was a horse instead of
Yeah, this dog, we couldn't save it. Well, it's a horse. Oh, that's why we couldn't save it. We thought this movie was an autobiography about a dog.
We have a 3-way tie, don't we?
We have a 3-way tie, ladies and gentlemen.
See that? I knew it, but I didn't say it because I wanted to keep Morgan in the game.
Now it gets emotional.
Yeah. Since it's a 3-way tie, I get to choose who we start with, and of course we're starting with the great Leonard Maltin. Would you like
Hopeless.
A Sean Penn movie, a movie set in Idaho, or 25th anniversary of St. Elmo's Fire?
I can't. other than I can't think of a movie set in Idaho, except maybe Sun Valley Serenade with Sonya Henie.
We have a winner, you guys.
I think I better stick with Sean Penn movies.
Okay, Sean Penn. There's only two to choose from.
Okay.
85 or 95?
Let's do 85.
I like it. 2.5 stars. Mm-hmm. I think this was somewhat critically acclaimed. So you were like, just like Inception, you were voicing your true opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a true story involving Sean Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And you call his performance, his character, amoral. Yeah.
All right.
And it's a true story, and there are 12 names. How many names do you think you can get it in?
6.
Leonard Maltin. Sam Levine.
There are 12 names?
Yes, sir.
That's an uncomfortable sound. I don't like that sound at all.
It is. Yeah. I don't want to win by Leonard not getting it. I feel like it's only just if I win, like I get it.
Winning is winning when you've got Courtney sitting over there.
That's true. All right, I can name it in 5 names.
Okay. Morgan?
Name that
name
movie.
Name that movie.
All right.
Here we go.
85, Sean Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Boys.
Why do you not let me read the names first? What if I was strict and said no and you're out?
Because I'm good at years.
Michael Ironside.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Makepeace.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Dysart.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorian Harewood.
Bad Boys.
Dorian Harewood is black. That's something I know about him.
Bad Boys.
So you're sticking with Bad Boys? Let's see if you stick with Bad Boys as I tell you. Pat Hingle, Laurie Single, David Suchet, Sean
like
Penn, and Timothy Hutton.
Mm.
Oh,
the Falcon and the Snowman. That's
you
right.
You pick the worst movies.
So Leonard Maltin is our winner, Morgan's our winner?
I win.
You said name that movie.
Yeah.
Morgan. So Morgan, once again.
Yes. Morgan.
Once again, the spoiler. Yes. The spoiler takes the game. That happened when Graham Elwood was on with Sam and
well
Sam
played.
And Leonard are good friends, yeah, but the third one always takes it.
Yeah. Well played, Morgan.
Very exciting. So winning, Morgan won some prizes for Sean.
You know what I find impressive? She seemed confused, but she was actually very strategic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's the thing. I tell people all the time, you don't have to know anything to win at this game. Just say name that movie. So you win a Hypocritical Oath poster, my CD that's coming out, CD DVD coming out August 31st. You win a movie featuring Sam Levine called Sydney White with Amanda, I retire, I take it back, Bynes. She was out of the business for a couple weeks, but now she's back in the game, and I'm excited about it because she does good stuff. And what else is in here? There's got to be something else in here. Oh, you also get a copy of my CD, Professional Humoridian, available at astrecords.com, and a copy of Leonard Maltin's 2011 movie guide. Inglourious Bastards is in here and gets the 2.5 stars it deserves.
Oh.
There you go. You win all that stuff, Sean. Do you guys have anything to plug? What's coming up for you, Morgan, while I go over here and ask these folks who I should call a shithead?
I'm just going to go back to work on Jimmy Fallon in a couple weeks. I just write there. And then that movie, it's kind of a funny story. I'll see how much I'm in that.
I got to write these down. These were hard to remember this week.
Oh, I'll be at Bumbershoot in Seattle in September. I don't know. I can make some stuff up. I'll also be in... I'm playing Carnegie Hall next Sunday.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
I was playing Carnegie Hall next Sunday. Are you telling me they're double booked?
Yeah, well, I'm doing a late show.
Oh,
do you have a?
That's fine then.
Do you have another movie coming out, Sam? TV show?
I actually do have another movie. It's not coming out in theaters. It's coming out on DVD. It's called Made for Each Other. It comes out on DVD August 31st.
Like all the best movies do. So check that out, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, check that one out. It's actually really funny, I swear. And then if you haven't checked it out by now, internet people listening, KevinPollocksChatShow.com. I can be seen on it with Kevin and wonderful guests every Sunday live.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun, that show. I did that show once, and it was a good 2-hour interview.
Yeah, and we're going
to
have
Leonard. He talks to people for a long time. Yeah. Get some stories ready, Leonard. Okay, so, and you have the current version of the movie guide and anything else? You're on the Reels channel?
The new 2011.
TV about movies?
That's right, Reels channel. My show has just been reinvented. It's now called Malton on Movies. New episode airs every Friday. That's what it's called.
Oh, now it's called Malton on Movies. What did it used to be called?
Secrets Out.
Don't watch that anymore.
That's right.
Secrets Out.
It's better
to have your name in the title.
It's nice.
Exciting.
It's reelschannel.com if you want to find out more about that. Or go to leonardmalton.com where I'm always logging new journal entries and reviews of books and DVDs and films.
Nice. Let's hear it for all these guys, but especially Leonard Malton.
Wow. Thanks, Doug. Really nice.
No, Sam Levine always brings us Leonard Malton, so we love him for that. And Morgan Murphy writes, when Jimmy Fallon says something funny, go, I bet you Morgan Murphy wrote that. Right? You still work there?
Yeah, right, I still work there. That's what I just said.
And I wasn't paying attention. I was getting the strangest shithead names that I've ever had to say at the end of the show. But I just want to mention that Sunday we're going to have the Torque screening at CineFamily here in Los Angeles with the co-star Adam Scott and my buddy Paul Scheer. We're going to sit and do a live commentary through. You gave Torque 2.5 stars, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a...
Is that the one Dane Cook is in?
No, he's not in it.
Oh, okay.
Is he? Oh, maybe? He's got a part in it, Dane Cook?
How do you like that?
Dane Cook was in that movie with, what's his name, the basketball player. And then I'll be at...
All right.
I'll be at... It was Jean-Claude Van Damme and
Dennis Rodman,
and Dane Cook was in it as like a guy that gets punched
double,
in the face.
Double trouble?
Double team. Double team, because it's about what they do in the hotel room every night after they wrap. They find some poor intern and double team. And then I'll be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, August 26th through 28th, 2010. Thanks for coming, everybody. And Sam Fickman is a shithead. And Courtney Maddox is a shithead. Yeah, first time people have ever really made it personal. And I thank you for that. And as always, those people are shitheads.